It's the history of football we knows about, and we want to expand what we know. We'll become such intelligent gentry with every kick to kick show. Beginning in the time 1870s, right through to the modern day. Tune in for Timmy Coops and the Kazman to hear what they all have to say.
Welcome to a special episode of the Kick to Kick podcast. My name is Tim. I've got Kaz and Coop sitting opposite me.
Hello everyone.
Very special.
This is the first of our three special episodes because we have three new teams joining for the 1925 season.
Yes.
So we thought as part of that, we'll have special episodes dedicated to those three teams, looking at the history of them leading up until 1925. So the first one we will talk about is North Melbourne. But before we do that, I just want to talk a little bit about the process of getting new teams and what the VFL kind of did.
So it was a conversation that's been had a few times since 1914 when university came in.
Correct. And so obviously the war happened, but then they've had buys since 1919 when all nine clubs were back.
Yep.
So it's been, five, six seasons of buys, and there's always talk about a 10th team coming in.
And it's been going around for a little while. There's a few clubs vying.
Yeah, well, we had Prahran, Brighton, Footscray, Hawthorn, Port Melbourne, Brunswick, North Melbourne all applying for positions. And interestingly enough, Footscray actually had their council bidding for them as well to get a spot.
Yeah, that's like the council bidding for them for Footscray.
Which was quite smart because that way they couldn't earn the wrath of the VFA and be kicked out like North Melbourne previously had.
Because it's not actually the club doing it.
No, it's the council trying to...
And that was the same thing that happened with Hawthorn.
It was, yeah. So and Brunswick and Prahran did the same thing. So lots of councils were also lobbying because getting into the big leagues meant more money, more tourism or more people coming to their suburbs.
And it's interesting, because we had this conversation when speaking to the historians as well, that the VFA and the VFL at this time were very similar in the quality of play, the people who were coming to watch, but the VFL was already known as the more elite competition purely because of the clubs that were involved.
And it had broken away to form that kind of Super League.
Yeah, Super League. So it was, even though the money wasn't any better necessarily, it was seen as on the higher level.
So 1922, funny story about Footscray, they actually learned that Hawthorn had a proposal, also led by their council, like you said. And there was talk that in a game, they played a game against North Melbourne, and if they won that game, then Hawthorn and North Melbourne would take North Melbourne's spot in the finals. So they lost that game, and there was talk they threw it so that Hawthorn wouldn't qualify for finals and thus not be able to prove their credentials for the VFL.
Of course they did.
But that was only suggestions.
Yep.
But I know the issues for North Melbourne and Footscray were also that recruitment zones were, Essendon specifically.
Absolutely.
Had recruitment zones that they were really protective of, as I think other clubs did as well.
Well, yeah, I think we can talk more about that later, but one of the reasons why North Melbourne ended up getting in was because Melbourne lobbied so hard to stop Prahran getting in for the exact same reason for their recruitment zones.
Yeah.
Because Prahran were very close.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you'll hear. So in December 1923, Kaz, the league had a vote to add a new team, with Footscray being the proposed team, we think. Essendon, South Melbourne, Melbourne and Collingwood all opposed this entry, and the motion failed because they had to get a three-quarter majority. Then in late 1924, obviously Essendon had been defeated by Footscray in the Championship of Victoria.
Oh, yes.
Footscray were kind of pretty happy with their role and what they'd done. But there was suddenly this weird rival came out of nowhere. John Wren and Dick Lean had this, they were part of a group called Carnivals Limited. They'd leased the Motor Dome ground at Yarra Park, which is now Olympic Park. Mm-hmm. And they planned to raise a public services team to compete in the
VFL.
That's
right, yeah. So was there anyone who was a police officer, taxi driver as
something
well?
Like
I think
that.
There
were
some really weird... Sort of,
John Wren would have had some... ways to persuade the police.
And specifically, I think he was trying to do this to get to stop Footscray because he was so angry they'd poached Con McCarthy.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, all these players are leaving from Collingwood to go to other clubs. They'd given him more money, and so he'd left because he was being paid more money. So he raised this rival bid to start a football team.
Yeah. And the football team was becoming reasonably successful. Like, they went through all the stages to start with, didn't they?
Well, they were playing in the Wednesday comp, the Wednesday league, but they weren't playing. That was the suggestion, they bring them in for the Saturday.
For the Saturday league and play in the VFL.
So that's a bit of about what was happening leading up to 1924.
That club was the reason that they were like, okay, we are definitely going to bring in a 10th club, because it was supposed to be that club, right?
Okay.
I remember reading something about this. Okay. They were saying, this is what it's going to be, so we will bring in a 10th club, and then they sort of folded, and then...
That bid failed.
The whole club sort of... They couldn't get the contract for the ground. There was something around that as well.
Okay.
So they're definitely bringing...
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were actually the contract ended up going to the VFA because
that's right.
They lost Arden Street because North Melbourne eventually went to the VFL, and that was where all their finals were played.
Yeah,
so they ended up going with the Motor Dome.
Yeah,
cool. All right, so that's kind of the preamble for this episode. So what you'll hear following this is our interview with Father Gerard Dowling of the North Melbourne Football Club,
which was absolutely fascinating.
Great to be talking to him on the 150th anniversary of the club as well this year, Kaz.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. The sesquicentenary.
Yes, as we'll find out.
Yeah.
So Charlie and I went out and interviewed him a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And really fascinating chat, as you'll
absolutely
hear.
Absolutely diehard and loves all the history of the club and from before the history of even North Melbourne, just the history of football as well.
Yeah.
He was a fascinating guy.
Really great to talk to. So enjoy. So to start with, why do you support North Melbourne?
Well, I suppose I bearing for North mostly really because a lot of people do, because my dad did.
Yeah.
In other words, my father was born not far from Arden Street, that's called Lothian Street, and he used to take my brother, my twin sister, myself, he used to take us to the footy. So it was just part of our inheritance, as it were.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate too because I was able to. I related very well to Ron Joseph. He'd become one of my closest friends, and so I was there when everything was happening. So, personally, I find it very fulfilling. It's very, very interesting reading at the conclusion to my first book, because I just find it hard to believe that all the things which I said had to happen, have happened.
Yeah.
And so I think that you identify with people and with causes and what have you, and I suppose that's the story almost of life, so many things, whether it's the Anzacs or whether it's recently the terrible fires, where think all the various human events that play a part in our lives.
Yeah.
So that's what happened, that's how I came. And being able to be taken each week to the footy was very helpful. That was with a firm called Bowen & Pomeroy, which is right next to Arden Street.
Yep.
And so he could park it there and
go walk in. Across. Yeah. Perfect. And so growing up barracking for them, when did you get involved with the club?
Ah, right, that's very interesting. See, as you probably know that I'm a priest and I work in parish life, but then I was sent to the university. And so when I was at this university, I didn't have parish responsibilities. So when I was at that time, in the 60s, was when all these things started to happen at North. And so everything sort of dovetailed, as it were, with North quietly putting all these things together and I being available. I went one day visiting some neighbours, and matter of fact with Michael O'Brien, who and they the caterers. Anyway, anyway, he had a book there, The Carlton Story, which ironically enough he bought for two bob, and I was showing it to Tony Tran, who was the president of North. He said, why don't we have this sort of thing? He said, why don't you write it? So two and a half years later,
there you go.
We had the North Tory. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
And so you had to spend a lot of time at the library going through all the old papers and all that stuff.
Well, that's right. You see, the sad thing was, North really struggled in a sense even to exist and being an industrial area,
yeah,
and that sort of thing. It financially, it struggled, but it's just amazing how it achieved success. Even in the area that you're looking at, the VFO it was extraordinarily successful.
Well, you think about there's a couple of, well, there's a few clubs so close, the powerhouse clubs you sort of squeezed in with. It's always right.
Well,
so
Essendon is a very wealthy club. Yeah. They border the north.
Yep, and then Carlton.
So, we struggled to get, but when they finally admitted us as a 12th team in 1925, that was good.
Yeah, absolutely. And it grew from there.
Who was your favourite player when you were younger? When you first started supporting North?
When I was a kid, there was a player called Stalky Crane.
Stalky Crane.
Great name. He was my hero.
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
What position did he play?
I think Stalky was the ruckman.
Makes sense.
but also Sid Dyer was a rover, and he was very likeable. Sadly, Sid died fairly young. He was involved with the Stall recreation area up there where they had the Stall gift.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Sid was very, very, very good player.
And, any relation to Jack?
Sorry?
Relation to Jack?
Dyer?
No, totally different.
Okay.
Yeah, totally different. Yeah. Of course, then later on, I had the good fortune. I got to know the players personally, you see. Yeah. They even took me to Adelaide after we won the premiership.
Oh, yeah.
We played for the Australian Championship thing.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So they took me over to that. So I got to know a lot of the players. When Barry Cable came over from the West, got to know him and his wife. I remember when they arrived here, because he only had 1 year and they had to go back, first of all. Then, of course, I got to know a lot of players like that. Sam Kikovic. Sam's interesting. If I'm not Vista's father, Sam gets very upset. Sam's good. Keith Gregg, a lot of them. I got to know them personally. Malcolm Blight. Yeah, I know Malcolm and his wife, yeah. So I got very involved with the club.
What's then the best game you've ever been to?
Oh, well, I suppose the best game... Well, it's interesting, isn't it? With the four AFL premierships. In a lot of ways, I suppose, the drawn game was extraordinary when we drew with Collingwood. And of course, I think in a lot of ways, perhaps the game I enjoyed most was the so-called centenary premiership in
96. Yeah.
It was trumpeters, you know, great one, the Gold Cup and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of satisfaction in that.
So I guess we're lucky to be talking to you in 2019 because it's the 150th
of
the club. So the club was formed...
I don't know whether you know, the technical term is sesquicentenary.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm writing this I'm calling it an encyclopedia, and it's going to hopefully incorporate this year. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
That's my aim. Yeah.
Encyclopedia of all the... players
of the whole
club.
Wow. And fortunately also, because even when I wrote the second well, when I wrote the first one, there was no record of it. Even on the second book, some of the early history sort of discovered. Now, I should talk about those books later, but so the knowledge that we've got now is extraordinary.
Yeah.
You know, like the records they've got North and the they've got the archives and whatever, which is really tremendous.
Yeah. So formed in 1869?
1869.
And their first match was not at Arden Street, though, was it?
No, it was up at the Royal Park.
The Royal Park. Do we know who it was against?
Oh, I've got it in there. I see, I've got a new book, but the text is with my secretary.
Oh, yeah.
No, probably not. Oh, yeah. Sure, whether it's in there.
The player's name nor the team against which they were pitted themselves is not known.
Ah, oh, there you go.
Well, it wasn't at this stage.
Yeah,
so unfortunately, I'll be able to find out all that now.
Yeah. So where was the club formed? Like, who
what happened was, it's interesting. The meeting which launched the club was in the schoolroom of St Mary's Anglican Church in North Melbourne, which is still there today. Yeah. And so that's what they had a, they called the meeting, I think, as I read it, it was mostly those who played cricket there, you see, in the summer. And in 69, a bloke named, we call him now Tiger Gardner, he was the first secretary, and I think the Gardner family, funny enough, they used to make prams.
Yeah.
They had a factory in North Melbourne. And they must have been worshippers at the Anglican Church there, and so they called the meeting. In fact, in the new book, I've got to thank God, all those details are spelled out, you know. Yeah.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
So they called the meeting, and a couple of weeks later, they played their first game.
Yeah, because see, at that stage, it was very much a hit-miss thing. Like as you know, the VFA didn't start until 1877.
Yeah.
So before that, it was a bit of a hit-and-miss thing.
Clubs
organised. We'll play you next week.
Yeah.
And sort of stuff.
Yeah. So it was, you could play the same club, but three times in a year one club, not at all.
It was a bit of a... Again, it's a bit like... In a lot of ways, it's just amazing how the Australian Bulls sort of succeeded because... you know, it was quite a unique sort of game, and it was almost like a pick-up sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Backyard sport, yeah.
And so North Melbourne joined the VFA as soon as it started? They were one of the original...
Well, they were one of the... When they had the VFA in 1877, they were one of the clubs that formed it.
But the year before, they had amalgamated with Albert Park.
That's right.
And was that just for numbers?
It was a strange thing, because... Most of the players were North players, and the captain was a North player. So it was a strange, because Albert Park just sort of disappeared.
Yeah.
But North, so North sort of almost regarded that as their own year that went on, you know.
Yeah.
And at this stage, they also didn't wear the stripe, the blue and white stripes, did they?
Wore the hoop, yeah.
Like Geelong?
Well, they wore that because they were getting confused with Geelong, which was an older, more senior club. They bowed and put on the stripes here.
So they were still blue and white, just vertical instead of horizontal.
And at this stage, just known as North Melbourne Football Club, or have a nickname at this stage?
Enough, they began as North, but then in... When they formed the VFA, the local area was known as Hotham.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first few years, they played as Hotham.
Oh, okay.
And then when they changed the local electoral area to North, North changed that there.
Which was in 1888.
Yeah.
It became North Melbourne again.
They were, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So were North successful at all in their first foray into the VFA?
It was a sort of they were never the top team by any means. No, they again competed and that sort of thing. But it wasn't until the 1890s toward the end of that they started to have some success. Yeah. So in some ways it was a bit of a surprise when they won their first premiership. As you know, they in 1903, the VFA introduced a final system
mm-hmm.
the first time.
Yeah.
And that's how the grand final thing came about. We use the term grand final, but grand final was because if the minor premiers, the one who entered the season, the end of the home away match, was on top and they lost when they entered the finals, they had the right to challenge.
Ridiculous. So I argue, we all argue about this all the time. That system is crazy.
Yeah, but you see, as you probably realise, a lot of those sort of things The same with politicians. With a lot of self-interest, you see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I need this.
To please everybody, that's what they need. Why the funny part was in 1904, Richmond wouldn't play us. Even though we'd won, they won the premiership and they could challenge North.
They chose not
North won their two finals.
Because of an umpire?
And it was up. It was up to Richmond if they wanted to challenge us, and they said they disagreed with the umpire, and so North got a walkover.
Perfect.
That must be the only time that someone didn't challenge.
Even the money that would be lost. But no, there we go.
So if we're talking 1903, but if we go back a step, when the two leagues separated and the VFA and the VFL became separate, 1897.
Yeah.
And North Melbourne were left out. Did they feel like they'd been left out, or were they more than happy?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So again, the interesting thing. Well, why were they left out? Well, some people say they were rough and all this sort of way. But the fact was, you see that you've got again, you had Essendon and Carlton. And they didn't want North to be fringing onto their place. I think too, funny enough, that the night that North actually was voted in to be invited, North wasn't one of the three teams. What happened? They were originally going to add one team.
Yeah.
Okay. I've read the minutes. We were reading the minutes of that meeting. Anyway, they were going to bring in one team, but then they decided that somebody said, well, bring in three. So it was going to be Footscray, Hawthorne and Perrin. And again, the theory is that Melbourne didn't want Perrin, so they supported the fact that North got into the three.
I was surprised to hear, because it seems so... so counterintuitive, considering that North just missed out on getting in 1908. You'd think they'd be the first ones to come in when they decided to make the next decision.
Well, see, as you probably know, it's a bit like politics today. Yeah. I mean, you sit back and think, but some of the things, like for instance at the moment, some of the things that are happening, you think, why in God's name did they do that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see the power different people exercise.
So as you say, the Carlton and Essendon didn't want them there, so they tried to push it. Kept on pushing. But then obviously once the two leagues separated, North Melbourne continued to gain more momentum.
They did.
They filled the space and became a more powerful club.
Yeah, and of course, as you know, at the same time the First World War was going on overseas, so that had an impact.
Yeah.
The VFA didn't play for 2 years, and the league continued on. And of course, league had the great advantage of them. They had the financial backing of the wealthy clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, it's a miracle. If you consider that, like 76 and 2008, it's a wonder in a way that North even survived.
Mm.
Well, in 1907, when they tried to enter the VFL, the VFA then punished them.
Oh, very much so.
And they were kicked out of the VFA?
They were kicked out.
For the whole season?
They had to reform then.
So did they play at all during that season in the Metro?
They didn't lose a game. They actually had a new team. They reorganised themselves in 1908.
Oh, okay. So, and they reformed as a new club.
At the end of 07, they amalgamated with West Melbourne, which had been premiers, you see.
That's right.
And... They thought this is good enough, we're going to be into it. And they had a red sash across their blue and white stripes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting jumper to see, actually. Mustn't much.
Yeah, funny enough, when I launched the North Story, I had players at the library and they came out with all the different jumpers. It was interesting.
Awesome. That would have been fantastic.
Very nice. So then, obviously, and then by 1910, they were premiers again.
The history of that. What happened was, Carlton were premiers in 1909.
Yes.
And for some extraordinary reason, I'd like to say, North got four of their players, a bit like the 10-year rule. They got four players, including the captain, and they came across to North. So North won 1910 premiership.
That's good. From Carlton.
It's when Jack Worrell got kicked out.
Oh yeah, and they were all, that was like Silver Kane and those guys, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Melly Johnson, Fred Jinks, Charlie Hammond and Silver Kane.
That's right.
Oh, that was my favourite era. I love those guys. Oh, so they all came across to North.
They came across to North.
And won in 1910. Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They beat Brunswick 68-39.
I can imagine. Those guys would have kicked it back.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, yeah. The history of all these shenanigans has gone on forever.
Yeah. Amazing.
And then they won, I guess, three in a row, you could call it, because of the war.
That's right. Well, they didn't lose a match from 1915 to 1918.
Yeah. 58 wins in a row.
Yeah.
Oh, man, so that's amazing.
They beat Footscray in 1914, 86-51. Then 1915, they beat Brunswick again, 76-28. And they also played St Kilda that year as well. Oh,
that pick-up game, yeah.
Yeah.
But the other interesting thing was in 1912, two semi-finals were drawn.
Oh.
So North played that game three times.
Really?
And they won
the same game three times. Yeah. My gosh.
Against Brunswick.
So they drew against them once, then played them the next week, drew again, and then that is unbelievable. That's amazing.
And it was getting pretty,
it would have been getting pretty rotten by the end.
When did the season end? When did the season end?
November.
I think the season was a bit shorter, so that I'm not sure. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's incredible. two draws in a row. Wow. So they beat St Kilda in a charity match.
Oh, that's right. That was the war thing. To raise money.
And they made quite a big deal about it as well, if I remember.
Oh, yeah. Well, because see, they were theoretically representing the VFA.
Yes.
And stacked their team, from what I read.
Yeah, really?
It was a pickup sort of game.
Yeah, all the best VFA players suddenly were playing for North in that game. Yeah.
Did it almost feel a bit like a tryout to try and get into the VFL?
Well, I think that the North people probably
wanted to
it that way.
Yeah. Show what they couldn't do, show they can play with the other guys. Because I guess the way, I mean, we look at it now, the AFL is obviously, and the VFA's disappeared, but back then and up until basically World War II, they were two leagues that had the same sort of attendances, strength.
Yeah. Well, some years ago when Ron Todd, Ron Todd, I think, was playing for Collingwood, and then he went across to Williamstown, and that was unbelievable. A bloke would go, and he was very successful full forward,
Yeah.
And so the competition at that stage between the two, although the league was always the dominant one and so on. The two competitions were, and it was interesting because they had different rules about
the flick pass,
whether you could throw the ball, hand the ball.
Yeah, the flick pass and those sorts of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the VFL was always seen as the...
Oh, well, the medium-backed VFL, you see. So that was important.
And then through that, all the VFA clubs.
It was interesting to see teams like Williamstown and maybe Sandringham. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of clubs that have been through. Oh, Port Melbourne. Port Melbourne's a very old club. And they've survived.
They're the only two left, aren't they? That are non.
What's Sandy and
Port and Williamstown.
Okay.
That aren't affiliated with AFL clubs.
Yeah, not still going strong.
Standalone.
Although Frankston now.
Frankston, yeah.
They're back.
Yeah.
Would you say that? So that time between 1910 and 1918, was that the most dominant time in North Melbourne's history?
Oh yeah.
More so than the 70s or 90s?
Oh no, not Frankston.
No?
Oh, not really, because again, it's the thing, really, like when North won the first previous 75, it was just, well, I was just reading the book there, it was really the height, was the sort of the Everest of the
thing. Yeah.
And so moving on, 18 to 25, when when you did... Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I was going to say in 21.
21, yeah, yeah.
When... So Essendon were kicked
that
out of
weird,
East Melbourne.
See, with the railway lines there near the MCG. Gee, that used to be... It was the East Melbourne...
Yeah.
And used to play cricket there. That's where North won their first premiership.
Oh.
And then the railways were going to take it back. So that was Essendon's home ground. And so again, North were thinking of some way. In fact, it was a bit bizarre because they did actually cease to play during 21 and asked the North players to go up to Windy Hill.
Yeah.
And so they got our champion, our best and fairest is named, Sid Barker. He went up along with the Rover.
Charlie Hardy and George Rawl.
But George Rawl didn't go that
time.
He
didn't,
came
he?
Up later.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was interesting to interview George. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They had that strange situation. The North thought that at that time, because Essendon, there were Essendon League team used to play there, and there was an Essendon Associates team.
Yes.
And so North was going to amalgamate with the league team,
and Essendon were then going to play at Arden Street.
That was
they took.
But then it misfired because Essendon went up to Windy Hill.
So they took your best players and then went to Windy Hill.
Yeah.
And then we won two flags out of them.
Sid Barker. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think that Sid Barker must have been an extraordinary player.
So you disbanded in 21.
Yeah.
Disbanded in 07. So two times the VFL has basically forced you to disband, and then obviously got back together and played three more seasons in the VFA.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Obviously far far less potent, missing all those players that you'd...
Yeah.
Well, that's right, because the core players that went up to Essendon and won two premierships.
Yeah. And stayed there, obviously, even when they found out that, North Melbourne were coming back.
I think Sid Barker went back, didn't he, to North Melbourne?
He went back in 27.
Yeah.
One year,
but sadly,
he was at the end of his powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like more needs to be made of the Essendon-North Melbourne rivalry. It goes all the way back to, the VFA days.
Yeah, they were physically next to each other. And as you know, Essendon was one of the wolfheads of clubs because the Brewer,
Alex McCracken.
McCracken started. And North is a sort of a poor relation down in Arden Street and all that stuff,
It's quite the rivalry.
It's funny, Arden Street, of course, in those days was just unimportant. But these days when people say they're going on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, I say, you're going to Arden Street.
So the name Shinboners.
Oh yeah, well,
where does that come in?
Well, it's like a lot of sort of things. Look, we can't say specifically, but one of the theories that seems to be most likely is the fact that you see in the Depression, a lot of the players to get work worked at the Metropolitan Meat Works, which was very close to the North Ground, and do a bit of a. Oh, you're a pack of the Shinboners, that's all that you are, and that sort of thing. I think it's funny because it was a derogatory term, which now has become, the Shinboner spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anytime their back's against the wall.
Ah, that's the stuff.
Were they known, was that the nickname of the club? Were they the Shinboners?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Shinboners on the
field?
For quite some time?
Oh, yeah. Well, pretty well until... See, what happened was in 1950, Fons Tobin, Tobin Brothers, he was the president. And somebody suggested what do we call them? The Kangaroos, that's an Australian term. And Fons was in town, and there was a huge depiction of a kangaroo. And he brought it to North, and so that was sort of become a bit of a feature in the media. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It seemed like a lot of clubs sort of changed their name around the same time.
Yeah.
We were talking to the guys at the Hawthorn.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting with the history, though. A lot of them I think Essendon were called the same old.
Yeah.
So it's a funny, quaint sort of expression, you see.
Yeah.
Were they known as anything else prior to that?
Not to my knowledge, North, but no.
No? So early 1925, North were finally admitted to the VFL.
Yeah.
What was the process from the club? Was their council also vying for them, like Footscray and Hawthorns were? Or was it them trying to put themselves forward?
Yes, I think that's true. I think the council did back then.
Yeah.
And did I read somewhere that the representative for North Melbourne got into the ear of the Geelong representative saying, you know, vote for us. We're closer than having to get to Paran. It's only an hour and a bit dry from Geelong.
But I think it was interesting, as I say, because I've read the minutes of that meeting, and Paran could have got in, but then I think possibly Melbourne's interest was such that they didn't want Paran nosing in there.
I'd love to read those minutes, but the first club let in was...
Oh, no, the three came in that one night.
But did they made the decision on...
Well, it was as Jerry
said. They tabled the motion.
Yeah.
And when the motion started off, it was those Hawthorn, Footscray and Paran. Yeah.
Okay, so...
But as it got discussed, somehow that changed it to North. Push out Paran.
So Hawthorn and Footscray got the tick, and then they were discussing Paran, it just turned to North.
Yeah.
So do you know of who voted which way? Who were the ayes and who were the nays?
That'd be in the minutes, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm testing you there.
No. Well, I've read the minutes. I don't.
Or might not say.
No, I think in the end, if my recollection is that at the end it was an unanimous.
Right. Yeah, they pushed it through.
It was decided on a vote of 14 votes to 3 that Footscray, Hawthorn and North Melbourne would be admitted. On the proviso that Essendon retained Flemington and Kensington divisions of the Hopetoun ward.
So there you go. That was there.
Amazing.
And then finally North Melbourne, part of the big boys. Then took them, 50 years to... win a flag.
50 years. Yeah, it was funny when I wrote this one. It was 48 years, and that they had gone by. Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Mm.
It was a great era, wasn't it? The '70s.
But I mean, it reads like a novel. You know, just incredible the story.
This
lonely little club from North Melbourne is now one of the big 18 clubs.
Yeah. It's amazing.
No matter how many times the AFL tried to push them up to Queensland or down to Tasmania.
That's right. Oh, the meeting we had with the so-called Dulles Brooks Hall, which doesn't exist now, but the meeting we had there, which James was accepted the role.
Was that the keep,
Ron,
was that Ron, keep, Ron, keep Ron, North South?
Ron Joseph talked him into running as president. And then they had overwhelming support. So we would offer the money to go up to Queensland. And anybody, and quite a few of the North people wanted to do that. But those who were diehard sort of North people said, no, we'll stay in Melbourne.
We'll figure out a way to get it done. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, another question for you, just think about this. So obviously... lots of games on Saturdays and Sundays. Yeah. Were you able to go to many games when you had your parish?
I haven't got it here, but I've got the front page of the Sunday Press, and I was against Sunday football, see?
Yeah.
So it's got the front page as all me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you could go.
Well, I eventually went, yeah.
Yeah.
But, the whole thing is just... does change someone. I mean, as you know, it's a sort of a... Well, these days, members of Parliament and AFL players are almost the same acknowledgement in the public, you know?
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. Oh, big, yeah.
Do you get to many games these days?
Oh, yeah, I usually get... Most weeks. Well, I get to the home games. We play at...
Marvel Stadium.
Marvel, that's Marvel. It.
So who's in charge of history at North Melbourne now? Is it still you? Is there like a succession plan?
Oh, they've got all sorts of plans. well, of course, we've got Ben Buckley, who's the chairman.
Yeah.
And we've got... he played for North, I think, but he wasn't terribly successful there. The president... well, he's got fancy titles now. He's CEO, administrator or something like that. What's his name? Carl?
Oh, yeah, Delena.
Delena,
yeah. Well done. Played for Fitzroy and North Melbourne.
Yeah. Well, they seem to be really happy with him. He seems to be going pretty well.
And down at Arden Street, do they have a bit of a museum and those sorts of things?
Not as much as we like, I think. Yeah. But, you know, again... with our friend, she's really.
Bob.
She goes in there every week.
Yeah, set that up. Yeah. Fantastic.
Because you, I mean, really, Jared, you're a pioneer in this football history stuff and writing these books.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. So we're very, very lucky to talk to you.
Oh, it's been a help. It's been a help.
Oh, Jared, that's been fantastic.
Oh, it's been absolutely fantastic. It was really lovely to have a chat.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. It's fascinating and interesting. I find the involvement with the historians is very good. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Father Jared Dowling knows his stuff.
Absolutely. It'll be, hopefully, we can go back and talk to him for the 70s.
Yeah.
For the great years.
He was there for all their success. And I know. Was the great thing about chatting to him is, like, I was there and I predicted that all these things needed to happen and they happened.
And they happened, and that's what led to the success. And I like that he was a big fan of Barras as well. That made me feel great.
Now, there are probably some stories he didn't get to that he probably...
Yeah, there's a few bits and pieces we edited out that possibly we'll put into
other
future
things.
Episodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, we tried to keep it as
succinct as we possibly could.
Exactly, yeah. It wasn't too much editing that needed to be done.
Sesquicentenarian.
Yes.
So... tune in next week because we'll have another episode focusing on Footscray. We'll talk about the same sort of thing.
Yeah, how they came about, their history before they joined, and a little bit of, you know, how they became who they are now.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Go Kangas.
Hooroo.
You can contact Kick to Kick by email at kicktokickpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at kicktokickpod. Or Instagram, which is at kicktokickpod as well. For our growing list of all our references, please go to kicktokick.podbean.com/p/reference-list. Thank you very much for listening.